And we're going to jump back into our series this morning of Promised Land Living in the great book of Deuteronomy, as we get to come and open the Word this morning. I want to open and just pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are our teacher. Lord, that we don't have to worry about, we just get to trust you. That when we're filled with your Holy Spirit, we get to allow you to give us the words to say. Thank you, Lord, as help us to be learners. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time we were in Deuteronomy, we looked at Deuteronomy 27. And in that chapter, Moses kind of looks ahead. They're still on the east side of Jordan, waiting to go on the other side. And he's saying, hey, when you get there, you're going to do a celebration. You're going to do a ceremony, in a sense. I'm going to put six of your tribes on one mountain, Ebal, and one on Gerizim, Mount Gerizim. And one of you is going to proclaim blessings that the Lord is going to give you for obedience and being his people. And the other one is going to be curses. What will happen to the people who don't honor the Lord? And as a holy nation that he's gathering and he's building and he's training, that he's raising, he wants them to love him and honor him. And Moses is intent about, because he knows he can't go with them. His life has come to an end, and he wants his people to go on and be victorious in the years to come. And so as he talks about chapter 28, he goes in and he further expands on those blessings and curses. Anyway, you're going to kind of laugh. Do you want the good news or the bad news first? Well, most of us are like, okay, I'm not sure. Let's just get it over with. But Moses starts with the good news. He talks about the blessings first that God will bring. Why don't you look with me, Deuteronomy 28, just from the very first verse. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Moses, he presents the big idea, right? If you obey, God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you. Think about obedience. Obedience. It's in this if-then statement that he gives. If you obey, then this will happen. Obedience is really, it's submitting to an authority. Submitting to another's authority. When we call God our God, what we're doing is we're submitting to his authority over our lives. We're saying, God, I believe you and I trust you, and I'm going to submit to your authority. One of the two words that we just read that kind of grabbed me and maybe grabbed you as you read them, what kind of obedience did God ask for? What was he asking for? He's saying fully and carefully. Some of the translations that you may have say diligently or say faithfully. You know, all of give the idea that it's an all-in kind of obedience. And being careful. Careful is like guarding what God is giving, so that what you're doing is you're obeying God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You're pursuing him to obey you. I trust you completely, Lord. You know, it's interesting. As I thought about submission, about obedience, true submission is the result of relationship. You know, we can say we obey, and inside I remember an old story talking about a kid saying, hey, I want you to sit down. You know, the kid was being kind of contrary, and he sat down, and he just said, I just want you to know, on the inside, I'm still standing up. I just thought that was just a great illustration that we on the outside can look like we're submitting, and on the inside, we're still standing up. Well, just to kind of contrast, that's not the kind of obedience God's asking for. That's not what he wants. That isn't relationship. When inside, on the outside, we're doing the right thing, but on the inside, we're still rebellious, that's not the obedience. That's not diligently, faithfully, fully, and carefully obeying God. So as we look at what Moses talks about, these blessings and these curses. Blessings, follow relationship. You know, as we think about the law, you know, that sounds very, very harsh, very structured. But it's meant to reveal relationship with God. He says, this is what's important to me. And trust me, if it's important to me and you do it, you will be blessed. As you think about it, that people talk about, you know, rules, you know, the Bible's just a bunch of do nots. Well, there's a bunch of do's. There's a bunch of things to do. And he just starts out as like, fully obey me, carefully follow what I've laid out for you to do, because that's where life is, to fully and carefully follow the Lord. If you and I fully and carefully follow the Lord's commands, if we're in relationship with him, what the then that follows that is then the Lord will bless you. I think it's just fascinating, just in that opening verses, when he says the Lord, it's hard for us to understand because we read the Bible a lot, but when you see those capital letters for Lord, it means the name Yahweh. It means his name. It's like, you know, then Scott will bless you. I'm not going to bless you, but, well, maybe I will give you, do something nice. But about the Lord, it's his name. It's not just this ethereal thing out there that we call God, but it's the Lord is his name, Yahweh. He says he personally engaged with you will bless you. I just think that's so incredible. Blessings. When he talks about blessings, first of all, he says blessings will come on you. There will be a significant singular event. Things you go, wow, that is a cool thing that just happened to me. I know some of you, you know, the stimulus check is a blessing. You know, we can disagree about how things are handled, but quite honestly, man, what an amazing thing for some of us, a lot of us to have. You know, $1,200 plopped into our account. You know, that is a blessing. That is a good thing meant to help accomplish good things. There's blessings, the events that we can point to in our lives. You know, it's interesting when you think about blessings, is even things that may look bad can be good. When we walk fully and carefully with the Lord, we can be confident that God is going to bless us. Even we're like, why in the world did that happen? You know, I joke about it. It's like, and in fact, I think there's an old country song that says, thank you, Lord, for all the prayers you didn't answer. I think about it because there's things I've prayed for that later on down the road, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, I am so glad you didn't answer that prayer. I'm so glad because what you had waiting for me, what I didn't even know was an option to pray for, you knew you blessed me with. God knows how to bless us. Those things will come upon us. They happen to us. There's things we can point to. That's why Thanksgiving is so important, to say thank you, Lord. It keeps our heart tuned into the Lord. It keeps us, our minds and our hearts adjusted on who God is when we thank him for his blessings. I think the second aspect of those blessings, not only they come on you, but blessings will accompany you. They'll go with you wherever you go. There's something, it's like a friend. As you walk along in situations, you know, to help you do things. I like to work by myself. I like working with somebody, even though sometimes it's just holding the other end, you know, of the board. It helps. It's a blessing. We'll accompany. So those things you don't know are going to come up that you're going to need help with, guess what? Those blessings will accompany you as you go. I think about Joseph in Egypt in Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, kind of just a snippet. The Lord was with Joseph, right? He accompanied him so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, and it goes on, he promoted him, he put him in charge of everything. He just worried about eating his own food, and Joseph took care of everything else. Why? Because where Joseph went, God blessed him because he walked in obedience. And quite honestly, you know, if you study his life, he really had a terrible life up in, you know, in a lot of ways. And yet he still honored God. And God's blessings accompanied him in whatever he did. With verse 15, I mean, we're going to jump ahead and you'll see why. Moses frames the curses that follow disobedience. He says in verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Right? If you do not obey. Right? If you obey, blessings. If you do not obey, curses. It's similar, right, to blessings. He says, curses will come on you. There will be events there that are terrible, that are disappointing, that are troubling, that are disheartening, that are broken. They will come on you. Those things that destroy, those things that are fruitless things, those things that are meaningless. You know, I just think, we talk about blessings, things that are bad, that are really good. Did you know there are good things that we think are good that are really bad? We're like, oh man, that guy just got a promotion, or that guy just fell into a bunch of money, or that guy, whatever. That those things end up being curses. Even though we look and say, oh, that's a good thing. Well, when you don't walk in obedience to the Lord, even some of those good things turn out to be bad things. I don't want good things that are bad things. I really don't want bad things that are good things either, but I want those good things that follow, the things that are maybe hard for me or I don't understand. That's why I think it's so hard for us as believers when we don't see the immediate result of our following the Lord, and maybe bad things happen. As we commit to the Lord, we're like, why is this happening? You can know that God loves you completely. And even though your mind may see and feel terrible about something's happening, as you follow the Lord, you can trust that he will turn that ugly, that painful thing into something good. That something that needs to be tenderized in your heart, something needs to grow your sensitivity, something that needs to grow your compassionate, something that needs to grow your love for God. As we walk out, you know, and so as those bad things that happen or good things will depend whether they're blessing or curses, depending on what? Whether we have relationship with God, whether we obey what he says, right? What did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, right, obey my commands. And that, he connected loving. It's loving represents a relationship. You don't love people that you don't have relationship with. That's why we always talk about, you know, we use love, so love that hamburger, you know, love whatever. I love that girl I just met. I love that guy. It's like, you don't love them. You have no relationship with them. But when we have a relationship with God, we obey his commands. We walk in those commands because we have relationships that we see what bothers God should bother us. What breaks his heart should break us up. What he has compassion for, we should have compassion for. The second aspect of curses is different. Whereas it says that blessings will accompany you, what does it say about curses? Curses will overtake you. Curses will chase you down and catch you. Have you ever been running away from somebody that's faster than you, and you're a nervous wreck because with every step you take, they get closer and closer? Curses will chase you down. You may not experience it at the moment, but it will have a consequence. It's one of those faith understandings, like just like blessings that you receive, to say, you know what? Every single good thing comes from God. Everything that happens. And so when bad things happen, they don't come from God. Even we understand is when God takes his protection off us, bad things will happen. You know, and there's a world, it's so deep and profound, but as a sovereign God, to use bad things to discipline us, bad things to make us sensitive, that God can use all those things in order to bring about his will. Whatever you have good going on in your life, curses will chase them down. Curses will find them. And what started out as good, and we've seen it, is, and I know in my own life, as I've lost my picture and my passion for who God is, some of those good things that God gave me turned into bad things. In other words, those good things that God were a blessing, as I've disobeyed God, those good things become idols in my life. They become the main thing instead of keeping God. And so all of a sudden, that thing that God gave me to bless me now is a distraction from who he is and becomes a curse. And maybe it starts to take more and more of my finances to maintain it instead of just letting it go. There's a blessings. Moses gave this contrasting picture of who God is, blessings and curses. And I think about curses, and I think about sin. Sin is a curse. Satan is our enemy. He's the enemy of everything good. Did you know that sin and Satan can't create anything? All they can do is ruin what is good. God's the only one who can create. God's the only one who can do good things. Sin and Satan only can wreck what is good. Those things that God intended and designed to be fulfilling, satisfying, meaningful, fruitful, future-giving. Sin and Satan come to do what? Rob, kill, and destroy. Those good things that God gave, say, hey, I am giving this to you as a blessing. And when we walk in disobedience to the Lord, Satan and sin come in and say, you know what? I'm going to take this good thing and I'm going to wreck it. I'm going to make this an idol in your life. I'm going to make this dissatisfying so you want more and more and more of it, and it'll still be dissatisfying to you. As we look at verse 3, and then we're going to do alternating verses, you'll see what I'm talking about as Moses kind of does a contrasting, right? Verse 3, he says, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. And up in verse 16, he says, you will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country, right? One is follows obedience, and one follows disobedience. In other words, not having a relationship with God versus having a relationship with God. This is not about perfection. You know, it's about relationship. And do you know Jesus established a solid relationship for us with God? When he died on the cross, we just celebrated Easter last week, right? We want to continue. We serve what? A risen Savior. We are serving a Jesus who is alive and active, and he sent his Holy Spirit to help us live out. We get to say, thank you, Lord, for covering my sin. Walking in obedience is not walking in perfection. If you look at Promised Land Living, it included, when you sin, here's what you need to do to make it right. And back in Old Testament, you had to take your lamb and you had to sacrifice it. But Jesus sacrificed himself, the perfect lamb, one and done. As we recognize, Promised Land Living still includes, man, when we see we've messed up, God calls us to repent. We still can live under that blessing as we see our sin, that we repent. Repent talks about, right, turning around, turning the other way, 180 degrees, saying, I don't want to do that anymore. And sometimes, a lot of us, it takes repeated times to say, I don't want to do that anymore. But do you know every time you say, I don't want to do it anymore, and that was wrong, God is honored? Even if it's the 25th time. It's not about just saying it with our mouth, but it's about, God, would you touch my heart? Would you give me a clean heart that doesn't fall into these old habits, these old dead habits, so that I want to experience your blessing. I want to experience your blessing on my mind. I want to experience your blessing on my life. I want to experience your blessing on my relationships. Lord, we want to love you. As he goes on and talk about that in the land, whether it's urban or rural, both are going to be impacted by how we honor God. Going on, verse 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, what will be blessed. In contrast, verse 18, the fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks will what be cursed. There's a contrast there. These things that we have no control over. You know, we have a very, very small part. We just get the opportunity. Some of us maybe spent a long time waiting for our wives to get pregnant, waiting for that chance to have children. It's those blessings and those things that we don't have controllable, the fruitfulness, the productivity that comes from that God brings. It's a blessing or it's curses. Verse 5, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Verse 17, the contrast, your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. When God produces in your life, there will be an abundance. It'll be what you need for life. It'll be what you'll get to share, not enough just for you, but what you get to share with others. God fills you up. In contrast, man, when you're cursed, man, you're hanging on to every single thing that you get. Everything, things become almost too meaningful. That compliment that is meant to give you life, that compliment becomes never good enough. In fact, you're just always doing things to get somebody to say something good to you so you can feel better about yourself. When you're blessed, it's overflowing. It is overflowing so much. Not only do you receive that affirmation, you're able to give away affirmation to others so that they're filled up, so that they're encouraged. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. In contrast to verse 19, you will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Wherever your feet step, wherever you go, with every decision you make, it's either going to be blessed or going to be cursed. Why? Because when we are in relationship with God, His covering, who He is, goes with us. It accompanies us, and it comes upon us. I always think of Psalms 1. To me, it's just a classic of it was one of the first passages that I memorized. Psalms 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And skipping ahead to verse 2, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on His law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Let's talk about, you know, we kid about that, or maybe don't kid about the prosperity gospel. It's not, we don't pursue God's blessing, we pursue relationship with God. And we don't have to worry about, the way God gives is good. What God does is good. What does it say about the wicked? It says, not so with the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. There's a contrast. There's a contrast in blessing. You know, we want to love God for who He is, not for what He gives us. And it's part of that relationship. And say, you know what? I can just trust you, God. You know, I love, some of us like getting gifts. And some of us, you know, make a list and say, I want this, this, and this. Don't you love to be surprised with the perfect gift that you didn't even have to ask for? In fact, maybe somebody had so much insight into your life that they saw the perfect gift for you that you didn't even think to put on a list. That's the way God is. God goes ahead of us, goes behind us, goes with us. He knows what we need. When we walk in relationship with God, we get blessings that are beyond our understanding, beyond even our ability to ask for them, and being confident that regardless of what happens, even hard things, I can say, you know, God, I'm fully submitted to you. I know that this hard thing is for my benefit. I know that I am going to be more mature. I'm going to be happier. I'm going to be more satisfied on the other side of this hard thing. You know, and with that too, he says, comfort those with the comfort you've received. It's not wasted. Not only do you grow, but when you see other people going through difficult situations, you can point them to the Lord and say, listen, I've been through some of what you're going through. And it may be different, but I know that God has comforted me. Here's what he told me in my difficult situation, and I'm going to tell it to you because it's true. It's true. When you honor God and you love and you walk in relationship with him, he will bless you. God, people, and place. You know, and we talked about just that triangle. A triangle where God is a corner of it. The people are a corner of it. The land is a corner of it. There is nothing that's unrelated. When the people honor God, blessings result on the land. When people dishonor God, it impacts everything we do. It impacts the place we live. It impacts how we even think. That's what's so hard is when you think about people who deny God, the challenge is our ability to even understand God is a gift from God. And so our logic goes down the drain when we don't honor him. Even our logic is impacted. If you fully love the Lord, verse 7, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee in 7. Grant. God will cause things to happen. Your enemies will be scattered when they attack you. Those things that come at you, God will grant. He'll handle it. He'll handle it. He's got your back. Verse 8, the Lord will send. He'll send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. He's going to send. You know, some of us have been doing Amazon orders or online orders. And it's pretty cool because the mailman comes or the FedEx guy or the UPS comes. It gets sent to you and you open it up and obviously, hopefully you know what it is because you ordered it and you had to pay for it. But when we walk in relationship with God, stuff will arrive that God sent to us. Sent perfectly timed that what we need for that moment. He'll send it to us. The Lord will fill your barns with blessings and bless everything you do in the place you live. In verse 9, the Lord will establish. He will establish you as his holy people as he promised as you an oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all people of the earth will see that you are called by my name, by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of the ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. Establish. It's like locked in, solid, not to be torn down. God will establish you in the land in this place. There's good things. There's completion of God's promises. Abundant prosperity. Not just good, not just better, but the best that you can have. God will bless you. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send you in the land, to send rain on you, your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. God will open up. I love, you know, you think about resources. When God opens up his storehouses, will it run out? In our minds, we think, oh, storehouses, they're limited. But God's storehouses are unlimited. He will provide what's needed. What does it say? In season. The right timing is everything. And God knows the right timing. You know, sometimes we're like way past, we think, what God should have done. But God knows. You see, He knows where to break, where we finally go, okay, God, I give it all to You. Where that place say, I trust You. And God says, okay, I hear a change in your heart. Here's what you've been praying for. And He blesses you. I can't tell you how many times that God's used that, where my heart has been anxious or in a sense demanding that God do something, and He doesn't, and He doesn't, and He doesn't. And finally I say, you know what, God, if this is the way it's going to be, I'm going to love You anyways. I'm settled in to this situation. And when within weeks and some or months, God changes it around. What I've been praying for didn't happen. And when my heart gets right with Him, you know, and I'm truly settled. Like, you know what? I'm not just doing it to like, okay, God, I get it now. Okay, I'm obedient to You. Okay, You can bring it now. I'm like, Lord, I don't care if this ever happens. I'm okay with this. And at that point, God blesses and releases the storehouse of heaven, sends rain in its season for what I need. In verse 13, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow Him, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Make. God can cause things to happen. God can create things to happen. You will be superior both militarily and economically. You know, and as of course he's speaking specifically in the understanding of Israel. And so it's those kind of things with, you want to be a powerful nation that doesn't have to be afraid that when enemies come at you. But if we think about in our culture now, it's like, what are the enemies that want to come up at us? You know, the enemy of poverty, the enemy of viruses, those enemies that want to come at us, that when we walk in the blessings of the Lord, say, God, I don't have to be worried about it. I don't have to be concerned about it. God, You're going to take care of me. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can see, okay, I got this $1,200. It'll get me through the end of the month, but I'm not sure about next month. God says, trust Me. Not just because you want to get, not because you want to get things, good things, but because God is good. As we honor Him, as we walk in relationship with Him, God will bless us. You will be the ones who give direction, who give influence, who others turn to, who others listen to. If what? If you fully and carefully obey Me. If you pay attention to Me. If you listen to Me. If you stay the course. Why does God bless His children? Does God bless us just because He wants to give us stuff? He says, hey man, I just want to load you up with some cool stuff. Is that why God does that? Verse 10, if we look back at verse 10, it says, then all the people on the earth will see that you are called by My name, by the name of the Lord. God blesses us so that the world will see that we're His children. You and I should live, and this is not about possessions. This is about God's blessing of wholeness, of satisfaction, of purpose, of peace. When we walk in relationship with God, it can't help but permeate every part of us, from the head dripping down, right, to our heart, to our soul, to our feet, so that it impacts. The Lord says, man, I'm not sure what you got going on, but I'm amazed of your life. You know, it's not about stuff. I mean, for sure, we get blessed with stuff, but it's about something way deeper. Those are kind of like symptoms, right? I remember we had a next door neighbor who was not a believer, but she liked what we were about. She liked how we raised our kids. She liked how we talked to them. She liked what we pursued is important. And I remember we moved away and we kept in touch with her, and she connected one time. She says, I met some other people like you. And we're like, what? She goes, you know, there's some other people that believe like you do. What? Some other Christians, okay? I've they're friends. They're really nice people. Some other people like you. So that the world will see that we're God's children. There's a blessing in that. There's a wholeness in that. The Lord's blessings are not the result of picturing or of positive thinking. It's a result of God's hand on our lives. It's a result of us living in relationship with God. It's a result of just, we just have a hard time understanding the goodness of God because we see such a messed up world. Well, guess what? The world is cursed. From the moment sin entered this world, it got cursed. And so we to walk in blessing takes faith. It takes trust of who God is. It takes believing the who He is. We love what He loves, hate what He hates. Grow in compassion for what breaks His heart. Celebrate what He celebrates. And God says what He celebrates when one person turns their heart to Him. And that's my invitation to you today. My invitation is that you would walk in God's blessing. You would walk in that fulfillment of who He is. That you would walk in relationship, that it's not about a bunch of rules, but it's about good things that God's asking you to walk in. And you can trust Him to get good gifts to you. Will you just join me? And I just want to pray that invitation of relationship through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much that You're the one who gives good things. Lord, You're the one who satisfies. You're the one who fulfills. You're the one who provides. Lord, that it comes from relationship with You. Lord, and I just pray that for everybody listening today, for everybody present, for myself, Lord, that we would look to You and You alone for blessings. We wouldn't look to this world. We wouldn't look to the government. We wouldn't look to our neighbor. We wouldn't look to our parents. We wouldn't look to a friend. Well, we would only look to You for satisfaction. Lord, You are the one that blesses. Lord, help us to walk in relationship with You and then just watch and see what kind of cool things how You take care of us. Watch how You encourage us. Watch how You open our mind to understanding. Watch how You heal us. In Jesus' name, amen.